Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett.
It's up. Hello again, friends, and welcome inside the Riverland Roofing Studio, at least for me. Riverland Roofing, for all your roofing needs. 662-644-4297 is the number to call or text. Hit them up online at riverlandroofing.com. Zach Berry and I write and talk about your Ole Miss Rebels all day, every day at the Ole Miss Spirit. OleMissSpirit.com and a foot of on three. Sign up today for the low, low price of $1. You can get full access to the Ole Miss Spirit for as low as $1 by going today and signing up. We'd love to have you at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com. Hey, Zach.
Hello, Ben. Good morning. How are we doing?
We're doing. Quinshon Judkins scored 3 touchdowns in the national championship game. The last AP top 25 poll released, and Ole Miss was number 11. So, yay in playoff contention. And then FanDuel for next year gave Ole Miss the 8th best odds to make the national championship. Meanwhile, our friends at On3, Ari and Andy Staples, Ari Wasserman, did not put Ole Miss in their way too early top 25. The season is over. There are things to consider. Ole Miss also got another transfer commitment, more firepower for a remade offense. A lot to cover in this edition of Talk of Champions on this Tuesday, January 21st, 2025. First of all, your reaction to one Quinshon Judkins getting the 3 scores in the national title game. I think we can finally say it. We've been talking about this since this time last year when Ole Miss and Quinshon went separate ways. Was it the right call? We tried to talk about returning Ulysses Bentley, the number one returning running back or highest graded returning running back in the SEC. Henry Parrish not allocating that much money that he was asking for a non-premium position. But here we are on January 21st, 2025. Quinshon won the argument. He won the debate. Yeah, Ole Miss, I mean, I'm at the place now where it's just like, what hurt Ole Miss all year? An inability to run the ball. Now, they should have certainly added more pieces to the offensive line. It wouldn't have been all that much better. It wouldn't have been what Quinshon did at Ohio State, winning a title, getting his 3 TDs in the national championship game. Could have just as easily been the offensive or MVP of that game. They didn't have the offensive line that Ohio State had. You watch what Notre Dame was doing with an offensive line and run blocking. Ole Miss didn't have that. So, I'm watching it last night as Ohio State wins another one. First thing thinking, man, Ole Miss could have beaten either of these teams. And also Quinshon should have, you know, that pay him what he was owed. But also it was more than that. You know, you splurge a little bit for juice. give a little bit more money to offensive linemen. Either way, the season is over, and the same questions we had going in are the same questions we have coming out, and now we look ahead to 2025-26.
I mean, I think it's a lot of hindsight. And you know, of course it's easy to say that now. I've been telling people that I've talked to, people on the board, whenever this topic comes up. And I wasn't in the room when Walker Jones and the folks at the Grove Collective were doing these deals. But I think it's safe to say, and maybe I don't think I'm overstepping my boundaries here. If you give Quinshon Judkins what he was asking for, you're probably not getting Walter Nolan. You're probably not getting Prince Umamielen. And I'd go as far to say you probably don't get Trey Amos. And that way you're trading a running back for, you know, three pieces of arguably the best defense in Ole Miss history and the best defense in the SEC in 2024 and a legitimate top five defense in the country. I know he played well. I wasn't surprised at all. I thought that he would do well at Ohio State. He's splitting carries with Travion Henderson, who is a stud. You've got a really good offensive line, and there are a lot of weapons around him. So it was easy for him at times to run against a light box because you're worried about Jeremiah Smith and the other wide receivers that Ohio State have, Emeka Ogbuka, and you know, the tight end's really good. So yeah, there were a lot of variables that allowed Quinshon Judkins to be really good in that offense. And that's not taking anything away from him. I mean, that's just, you got more weapons. It helps. I think you're right about the offensive line. I think that was the bigger issue. I'm sure Judkins would have had a good year with Ole Miss, probably a great year, but the offensive line had its limitations. And ultimately, you look at the games, Ben, we watched them all. Ole Miss could have made the playoff without Quinshon Judkins. Mm-hmm. You know, there were some coaching decisions, you know, kick a field goal here or there. The running back thing, whatever. Like, we know we've seen the numbers. You asked the question over and over. Kiffin gave the answer. I don't know if it was ever going to be any different. But the point is, Ole Miss was, you know, one game away. And you kick your field goals against Florida. You win in the swamp, you're in the playoff. You, you know, get a stop on fourth down against Kentucky, you win that one, you're in the playoff. So I know Ole Miss fans, I know, are you know, were probably angry watching that last night. It's whatever.
It's college football in this day and age. The only thing I could think of was, like, that's Ole Miss's single season rushing record holder for yards, carrying Ohio State to a title, which – it just used to not be that way. It's a different era. I do agree with you to a point. I still think they would have gotten a Walter Nolan. I still think they would have gone above and beyond to make sure they got the Princely Umamielens and the Trey Amoses, but it would have cost them someone. It would have cost them multiple people possibly. And if you look at the makeup of last year's or now last year's roster, it does beg the question, well, if you'd have paid that out, would you have even been the same place? The defense been the same, been as strong, the best modern era defense, I think, in for Ole Miss in its modern era history. Like, there's a lot of things you could say about paying that out. But at the end of the day, Ole Miss needed a running back, and the running back that they let go away won a title on Monday. And it was just a nice little crappy cherry on top of a Sunday of disappointment for Ole Miss this year. But they were right there. You're right. At the end of it, if Ole Miss makes the playoff – and the same still happens and Quinshon goes on and wins a title, no one's saying, ah, well, what happened? It's just because the number one question for most people from last year was, well, why isn't Ulysses Bentley playing, or why didn't you do more for running back, blah, 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 blah. And that way, Quinshon, you know, did come out with his performance last night and with the totality of the season now behind us and say, maybe you should have. But that's ifs and buts. At the end of the day, Ole Miss was built to win, was right there, and had every opportunity. It's not just because they didn't sign Quinshon Judkins, but as far as that one particular argument, it's hard to argue against the fact that Quinshon could have helped them. But I do agree that that it's so much easier to say it now. It is so much easier to say it now. And living in hypotheticals, It does no one any good, but again, that's also great for podcast fodder because you look ahead and Ole Miss has got the eighth best odds according to FanDuel, but left for the national title next year, but left out of the top 25 for Andy and Ari at 0-3. And that's kind of what sets the table, sets the stage for what Ole Miss is going to be next year. Upside that is appealing, is exciting, but there aren't a lot of knowns. There aren't a lot of, well, you got this coming back. There are only a few. Caden Lee is one of them. Unlike this team, which you had the quarterback, you had – the only thing you didn't have was the running back, because why we started here today after the national championship, Quinshon, because everything else was elite. So next year, it's questions all over the place. You love the upside, but – what did you think of that about Ole Miss now that the season is over, looking ahead? If you had to do your rankings of them, where would you rank them? Or would you rank them at all?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard. Like, I know people are mad about the rankings. And look, it's Andy and Ari's opinion. It's not wrong. I mean, you can argue and give your opinion, but at the end of the day, that's their opinion. It's fine. It's hard to rank Ole Miss in the top 25. I'd probably put them bottom, you know, in the 20s. There's some pieces to like on the offense. You look at the last couple of years, Ole Miss has finished in the top 12 three out of the last 4 years in the final AP poll. So Lane Kiffin and company are doing something right. Common denominator, obviously, in those final rankings, Jackson Dart and Matt Corral were quarterbacks. So experienced guys that were under center. And so I'm sure that's the pause with Andy and Ari, right? It's Austin Simmons and the talent's through the roof. Everybody's excited to see what he brings, but never started a game. So I understand the pause there with putting Ole Miss in the top 25. And look, this stuff doesn't matter.
No.
This is just stuff we talk about in the offseason, so it's fine. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's like – crazy outlandish that Ole Miss was snubbed. And look, you got a favorable schedule. You got a lot of your games, your tough games at home, and you spend extended periods of time at home. You have a couple tough road games, and then you come back to Oxford for extended period of time. You have a couple more, and then you come back and you close the season out in the state of Mississippi. So I think the schedule is a lot better for Ole Miss this season, with more games at home. And historically, in the last 5 years, Lane Kiffin's been very good at home. So, yeah, I mean, Ole Miss not in the top 25 with a first-year starting quarterback that's only thrown a couple passes here and there. Sure, it's okay. I do think there's a lot to like about this Ole Miss team and the additions via the portal and a lot of the starters coming back on defense. The younger guys that are coming back on defense that are ready to take that next step. And I'm really excited to see what this offense looks like with Austin Simmons and a revamped offensive line.
All right, let's play a little high-low Buffalo. The high of what makes you bullish on Ole Miss next year, the low, why you maybe are hesitant to rank them or rank them similarly, if you want to do those things, like Andy and Ari, and then the wild card, the Buffalo, what can make Ole Miss become that playoff team next year? Because at the end of it, now that the season is over, Ole Miss finishes number 11, won 10 games for the third time in 4 years, an objectively successful season, but getting to the next level is going to take what? What makes you bullish? What's your high? What makes you a little tentative? Your low? And give me your wild card Buffalo for Ole Miss in 2025-26.
I mean, I think the high is obviously the defense and what Pete Golding has done in a couple of years and how good it was. I think you've got some really good pieces coming back and Suntarian Perkins. You've got some DBs that are out there that have played a lot of football. I like the younger group of defensive linemen that are coming in. They probably didn't play as much as most would have liked them to play in 2024, but I know that Randall Joyner and that staff are super high on, you know, the Cam Franklins. You know, Jam Brown was a freshman All-American. You got William Eccles, you know, those Cam Beavers, these younger guys that have been, you know, waiting their turn. And you throw in a Deshaun Womack and you throw in a Prince Willamon Mielen. And then at linebacker, you know, Poupal's gone. You bring in three linebackers that I think are going to really help you And it's three that have played a lot of football. I put up the Pro Football Focus numbers and how many snaps these guys have played, and it's a lot. And then, yeah, look at what's on offense. With you add a couple really good tight ends. I mean, Luke Hotz gets forgotten about a lot because it happened so early in the portal. I think that's a legitimate, bona fide, like big wide receiver that you've added to the offense to go with Daquan Wright. And I think you've got Shekai Mills-Knight. I mean, we were talking about Quinshon Judkins at the start of the show. Judkins had a great freshman year. I don't think it's crazy to think that Shekai Mills-Knight could do something similar to that. You get a Kewin Lacy, a guy that you wanted out of high school, takes a little, you know, brief stint at Missouri, and then now he's at Ole Miss. And then you bring in somebody like Tre Hall, a little bit of a change of pace. You know, kind of reminds me a little bit of Jerrion Ealy. And, you know, Kiffin was pretty good at figuring out how to get the ball to Ealy and make him effective. So that could be what Tre Hall's role is. So I'm pretty high on both sides of the ball. I think, you know, obviously losing huge pieces, but I think that both offensive staffs have proven that you can put some pieces in there and kind of figure things out through the first three or four games of the year. And I'm excited about what Ole Miss has got on offense at wide receiver. You get a Dejon Stribling, you get a Tre Wallace from Penn State that put up monster numbers in an offense that's really not catered to wide receivers. I think the athleticism that has been added to that room is what's impressive. You know, both Caleb Odom and Tre Wallace are both former basketball players who are, you know, big-time leapers, can go up and win one-on-ones. I mentioned Stribling, big physical guy that's played a lot of football. And then the slot guys, I like what they've added on the inside with Deuce and drawing a blank on his name.
Traylon Ray from West Virginia?
Traylon Ray. So they've got a lot of speed and a lot of athleticism, and I think that that's going to bode well for Ole Miss on offense. And then for the low, I mean, it's, you know, low-hanging fruit here, but, I mean, it's Austin Simmons. He's never started. A lot of pressure. You know, how is he going to handle, you know, stepping into the limelight? You know, you're no longer, you know, that's the old adage, you know, everybody's favorite player is the backup quarterback. You know, he put up a pretty lofty Instagram story post last night. Took a picture of Ohio State celebrating and said that Ole Miss is going to get there. Which, hey, you want that in a quarterback. And you want the maybe not necessarily like a defensive back's mind, where you want those corners to just be, you know, nobody can beat me, I'm going to lock down everybody. Quarterback, you want it, but you want to be a little more, you know, got to be really good between the ears. And I think Simmons is that. We've talked a lot about how mature he is, you know, leaving high school so early and having to, you know, essentially grow up and become a young man in a college football program, even though he's younger than everybody. So that's the obvious low. It's just, he's never started. And then you throw in the other low hanging fruit. That's the offensive line. How different will it look with the additions? You know, I like what they added with Kudus, and I think some of the freshmen are going to get a chance. You know, I think they got a couple 4-star freshmen that are going to have their shot at getting in that too deep. But you bring back Cam East, you bring back a lot of guys that have already played SEC football, and then you throw in a PJ Watkins and a Delano Townsend. So how are they going to piece it together? Can they stay healthy? I think that doesn't get talked about enough, Ben. The offensive line wasn't great, but there were a lot of banged up couple weeks, you know, little nicks here and there where guys had to be shuffled around, and you know, there weren't, you know, guys were playing a little out of position at times, or, you know, hey, I might have played tackle, but that was, you know, in high school or my freshman year, and then now they're having to do it on, you know, at the SEC level, and it's not easy. I think that's the obvious low, with just Simmons being inexperienced and the offensive line having to, you know, kind of start from square one, and maybe a little self-reflection, you know, in the mirror, you know, hey, do we think we can do this? And then Buffalo, like the wild card. I mean, you could look at, you know, what's Caleb Cunningham going to do as a true freshman? You know, we just saw Jeremiah Smith set the college football world on fire. He's already got, he had 15 touchdowns this year, Ben. You know how many career touchdowns Julio Jones had at Alabama?
He had 15 as a freshman.
Jeremiah Smith, yeah.
Yeah, but I thought Julio had 15 as a freshman, too.
Pretty sure Julio had 15 in his career.
See, I thought he had 15 as a freshman. That's crazy.
Let me double check.
You're probably talking about the same graphic. I just read it wrong. See, because for me, the high-low Buffalo is pretty simple. The high is the replenishment of wide receiver because Trey Harris is gone. Jordan Watkins is gone. The promise that was Aiden Williams is now at Mississippi State. Nerrell White is in the portal. So the proven and the future all are gone in one fell swoop, except for Caden Lee. And you said, well, they got to get number. And it wasn't just at wide receiver. It's at cornerback too, but that's my low. Linebacker in the secondary at safety. There are a lot of positions Ole Miss had to add numbers, but wide receiver, the room was barren outside of Caden Lee, and they've completely overhauled that room. Trey Wallace, the Penn State wide receiver transfer, the top receiver for Penn State last year. He is now in the fold joining Dejon Stribling, like you mentioned, and a number of other players with upside that maybe didn't do it at their previous stop last year, but Ole Miss absolutely loves in Caleb Odom. And I love, like you said, what they did at tight end. They have three tight ends. You can see some, 13 personnel with the New Mexico tight end transfer with Luke Haas as a big wide receiver and also at tight end. Daquan Wright returning and being probably the number one option for a young Austin Simmons as he gets his feet underneath them. That's exciting because Ole Miss's collection of pass catchers is as strong, if not potentially on paper, stronger than the group that just left, and I didn't think that was possible. Mm-hmm. And for a quarterback, even with the schedule being favorable in terms of home games, a quarterback that doesn't have any run really under his belt, having that is where it starts. You know, you got to have him be comfortable. And I love what he put on Instagram. I love that Austin Simmons isn't running from it. He's not a part of baseball anymore. If you watched Talk of Champions earlier this month with Mike Clement, I asked him the question, is Austin there? He said no. And then reports coming out, I think, over the weekend confirming that because Mike finally spoke on it as well. He is all in for football. He is no longer a baseball player. He is Ole Miss's starting quarterback, and they've got the backup from Louisville now coming in to compete with A.J. Maddox. So Ole Miss has that room solidified. But my number one bullish why I'm high on Ole Miss in 2026 is in a lot of ways because of what they've done with their playmakers, their skill positions, wide receiver and tight end. Because you remember when Lane got here, all the talk about his offense was, one, it's a run-heavy variation of the spread, which it has been, except for this year. And then, two, the tight end is going to be featured. And we haven't seen that type of featured Harrison Bryant, even Kenny Yeboah in year one over the last couple of years. We thought Caden Priestcorn was set up for that this year, and it just didn't happen. I think for the first time, that collection, both the tight end and wide receiver, is more in line with where Lane Kiffin wants that personnel to be and can allow him to be more creative in a free shot year where you can take more chances. You can throw caution to the wind. You could, if you're going to be a playoff team, you're going to have some things break your way. You can't rely on, oh, we got a three-year starter at quarterback, or we've got the best defensive line in modern Ole Miss Day history. All those things. You have to first make sure that Austin Simmons is set up in the best possible way. And after a slow start, I thought, for them in the portal, especially at wide receiver, they have certainly done that. Now, the low for me is they still don't have a field corner. Thaddeus Dixon is at North Carolina. Tamarcus Cooley is at LSU. Brandon Cisse is at South Carolina. All players that Ole Miss had in for visits out of the portal and liked and wanted to get and didn't land any of them. So getting more help at corner with the first window already closed, the options not as plentiful. But you're starting to see now players not even worry about the portal. Like the kid from Wisconsin that transferred anyway, even though he wasn't released to get into the portal. There are no guardrails. So every single day there are possibilities for Ole Miss to add to what I think is their weak spot, which is opposite Jalen Braxton, the transfer from Arkansas in place of Trey Amos at field corner. Chris Graves returns. They love TJ Banks, but they haven't addressed that, I think, enough, which worries you because the rest of the defense, it's not like you're going to go add a Walter Nolan or a Princely Umon Mielen, the last piece of an already elite group to push them over the top. You don't know what your elite group is yet on defense. And last year you said, well, you have elite talent at all three levels. This year you do have elite talent, but it's unproven. And a lot of it is. T.J. Dottery is going to be good, of course. Santarian Perkins is going to be good, a starter in place of Princely Umon Mielen. You love what they've done at edge in the portal, very similar to wide receiver, but corner is still a glaring need. And then the Buffalo, the wild card for me is Austin Simmons. Because if Austin Simmons is the player they think he is, then his Instagram post, reel, whatever, story last night where he's talking about getting there to the national championship, I promise you guys, isn't far-fetched. Austin Simmons was handpicked. Austin Simmons is the guy for Ole Miss football moving forward. And if he's as good as they think he is in year one, well, then the sky's the limit. It's complete and total wild card. But like I said, Ole Miss finishes number 11 in the final AP top 25 poll. Portal recruiting will not slow down. And it's interesting to consider what Ole Miss could be next year because there's such a wide range of outcomes. Just where you could see where they could be right back there in that 8, 9, 10, 11 win. Maybe not 11. 11 seems really, really rich. But 8, 9, 10 win contention. You could see that path, but it's not nearly as obvious or clear as it was this year. And there is far more volatility in what they could be on the other end of it, right, where they could be 7 wins, 6, 7, 8 wins. And that be considered a disappointment. So I love what Ole Miss has gotten done. There's still more to get done. But, yeah, you know, watching the full makeup of the season and what it was, I think Ohio State was always the best team, always had the most talent, and lost some games inexplicably. But the fact that Ole Miss was at home watching those two teams, I mean, they were certainly better than Notre Dame. It's a hard pill to swallow, I'm sure, if you're an Ole Miss fan, only because now you don't have the same knowns and guarantees as you did with this team coming in. And for 2025-26, that is both a scary proposition and also a really fun proposition because Ole Miss could go any number of directions. They would be nothing if not interesting next year. Let's hope they're interesting for all the right reasons.
This is Cali. With CSpire's blazing fast nationwide 5G network, she's got her fans in the palm of her hands. Live streaming her Mississippi Blues from her phone, wherever she is. Out there, wherever they are. Right now, get the latest 5G phone on us. Only at CSpire, customer inspired.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it, it's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper. Distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard-of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
I thought last night, if you watch the game, if you're being realistic, I don't think Ole Miss at its best is beating Ohio State at its best. I think Ole Miss at its best could beat Notre Dame at its best. You kind of saw it last night. You get off to a fast start, get off to a two-score, three-score lead, and it takes Notre Dame out of its game. And Notre Dame just couldn't keep up. Made it interesting late, but I think that was a little more of just Ohio State, you know, hanging back, not playing as aggressive defensively because it was essentially over. But, yeah, I think if Ole Miss played Notre Dame on our neutral field, at full strength, I think Ole Miss could beat Notre Dame. But, Ohio State was too good. They lost by one on the road to Oregon. It was a really good team. And then you lose the weird rivalry game to Michigan. But then, you know, they kind of figured it out. You know, okay, it's playoff time. Let's get our heads on straight. And the best roster in the country won. So, you know, that was kind of one of those with Will Howard. You know, you're driving the Bugatti, like, hey, you know, 10-2, let's not wreck this thing. You know, tons of weapons. The offensive line was outstanding. Multiple pros in the front seven on defense. And, you know, arguably the most electrifying player in college football in Jeremiah Smith. Chip Kelly was just having fun out there calling plays. And
I love the call on 3rd and 11, playing to win, man. Third of Jeremiah Smith. Yeah. You did the whole running thing, but get that man the ball, the best player on the field, get him the ball. And I love that. And it does, though, or watching it did make you kind of think of what if it could have been for Ole Miss. Like, if Ole Miss had not lost to Kentucky, got into this field, and now that we've seen the field and watching Ole Miss all year, what they could have been. But ifs and buts, your candy and nuts, right? I will say this one thing. I don't understand why college football's final game, the national championship game, isn't on New Year's Day. That is college football's day, is New Year's Day. And waiting until January 20th in 2 weeks worth of NFL playoff games, there wasn't the same type of aura about the game last night going in. Maybe it was just because the SEC wasn't in it. I don't think so. When you think about the first year with everything on the table, kids can get paid as much as you want to pay them. More teams than ever have an opportunity to get in. All this freedom of movement, everything about the sport. So many positives. In my opinion, one of the most fun seasons in a while because of that unknown and anything could happen possibility. Mm-hmm. But man, we need the power, you know, the power brokers of this sport, the administrators, to really take the reins here, figure something out in regards to guardrails. One thing you're seeing is that college coaches unanimously voted to have one portal window for 10 days after the new year. Not just that, but a salary cap would be great, right? Or a salary floor and salary cap to make sure that schools are at least trying to go out there and get things done, but also not this unfettered capitalism, which is allowing Carson Beck to go make $4 million in Miami for a year. Now, congratulations to Carson Beck. It's good, you know, good money if you can get it. But this sport, as fun as it was, when it plays this national championship game, how it utilizes its attention windows where everyone is paying attention just to college football, It's lacking in that way. And you felt that in the national championship game. You didn't feel that same type of build. This was not the Super Bowl, you know, college football's version of the Super Bowl, which feels like an event. It felt like a Monday night, you know, football game of MAC action in a lot of ways because it just didn't have. So for next year, nothing will get done probably. It's still going to be the same absolute mess. But if one thing, if I could ask for one thing for next year for all teams, that's a little bit of an idea of what the rules are, because there are no rules right now. But I think Ole Miss is going to be right back in it. Lane Kiffin has had Ole Miss winning 10 games essentially every year for the last four. So I believe in what Ole Miss can be next year, but this year will always be one of, man, what if they had paid Quinshon? What if they'd not given up a fourth down against Kentucky? Or what if that ball doesn't bounce on the turnover for Kentucky going in into the tight end's hands and they scored the go-ahead touchdown? What if, when it should have been more about a crowning achievement for Ole Miss football? And that's the tough thing to swallow, I think, today for most Ole Miss fans.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the what ifs, but I think I wonder if College Football will ever consider, you know, shortening the regular season in order to take advantage of that, you know, New Year's Day window. I mean, I don't know. I think there could be a lot of variables to, you know, while there wasn't as much buzz. I don't know, just kind of two marquee blue blood programs that, you know, not everybody particularly cares for might have heard it. I had no – last night was one of the few times where I was just kind of like, whatever, I don't care who wins.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times you kind of subconsciously will pick a side. And last night was just kind of whatever for me. I mean, Notre Dame, yeah, it would have been cool. Marcus Freeman.
What kept me in it was when Quinshon started doing his thing, and I'm like, oh, man, there's the Ole Miss angle.
Yeah. Yeah, like Marcus Freeman, it would have been cool for him to win. He seems like a good dude. I didn't really care. Like, a lot of people hate Ohio State. I don't really have any feelings one way or the other. If anything, you got, you know, three Ole Miss guys on that team. You know, say what you want.
Yeah, Davison Igbinosin starting at corner, man. Yeah, talking about needing another corner, and Davison's over there doing the thing, winning a title.
Yeah, you know? Davison Igbinosin. I tell people to this day, he's probably my favorite interview. I was rooting for him to play well and to get a title. And then Taiwan Malone, good dude, was always great with media, always great with us. So good for him. And, you know, the Judkins thing, it's whatever.
It's just so easy. It's right there. And that's the thing. It's like there's no gray area. It's like, they should have paid him, you know?
The thing that everybody conveniently forgets, and I understand fans are, you know, take it personal, and it's a different thing in college football with fandom, but I have it on pretty good authority that he was not liked by most people in that locker room, and it really came to a head in that Peach Bowl. And I mean, I was at the game. You could see it. You could see it on TV. It was pretty evident, and it would have been hard to build that bridge back up. And it just got to a point of no return.
Winning is all that matters. I agree. But now that you've seen it, now that the personnel decision was made and the end result was what it was, we can all say, patch it up next time. Yeah. Just patch it up. But yes, I agree. There was a lot of that. And
it was
vicious. It's easy to do now.
It was a lot
easy to sit here now and say these things.
It was kind of the principle of it, though, right, Ben? Where, I mean, they came to an agreement on a new deal and all was well. And then after the Peach Bowl, no, we're going to go back and, you know, and then it just got to where it was like, all right, you know, you either want to be here or you don't. And you're affecting the team, not only in the locker room, but you're affecting other portal pursuits. And sure, I saw somebody on the board mention it, or maybe somebody texted to me where, you know, Ole Miss waiting as long as it did to move on from Quinshon Judkins probably hurt it in like trying to find another running back. But yeah, it's over. Yeah, you got to move on.
Officially we can now because it's all over. It's done. Yeah. Like, so, if we're ever going to talk about, all right, what's the final verdict on the Quinshon story? Well, that's what this is, because there's no other day in the year that we can do it outside of the day after he's coursed through the national championship games and Ole Miss needed a running back all year. But again, when you think about what Ole Miss could be next year, I love the upside, but the volatility is going to be much greater, and it's going to be harder to predict what Ole Miss could be. But if Austin Simmons is everything they think he's going to be, then Ole Miss is going to be right there again. And again, getting Trey Wallace was just and Lane Kiffin was the one that kind of announced that one on Twitter, throwing the shark out himself about Trey Wallace and trolling South Carolina, who believed he was coming in for a visit. Like, I appreciate that Lane is really attacking this portal. The Ole Miss is attacking this portal for playmakers like that to build around Austin Simmons, but they're still lacking, especially on the defensive side at cornerback. And they're going to be working through the spring, maybe even into the summer, getting kids on campus and trying to make this roster as good as possible. Sitting here today, how would you, now that Trey Wallace is in and they've done all their work here, you're going to see portal activity slow down a little bit because of that. That's supposed to be what's happening right now, is it's slowing down. There's going to be a little bit of that. But as far as what Ole Miss has gotten done, what do you think about it? Now that Trey Wallace is in it, I think they're the number three class in the country, according to On3, had moved up to number two. Have they done what they've needed to do to give you that bullish, you know, oh yeah, Ole Miss is going to be right there again. Now they got these things, but what makes, like, what about this program or about this recruiting effort in the portal in high school specifically? Have, like, where are you now? Has Ole Miss done enough, right? Mm-hmm. Because I love what Ole Miss could be, but this isn't the same type of portal that they've had in previous years. This isn't, you know, getting Walter Nolan to go with Jared Ivey and J.J. Pegues and then Princely Umanmielen to push you over the top. This is actually building out an entire new roster. And we knew it was coming, but to see it is pretty.
And look, I'm not criticizing, but Ole Miss fans got a little spoiled in the portal last year. And look, there's not always going to be a Walter Nolan. I mean, he was the number one overall player. Yeah. That's not going to happen every year. I mean, it just all came together where you get him. You get Princely to go along with what you have already on the defensive line. You get Trey Amos. It just worked out great. I mean, that only happened because Nick Saban retired. I mean, he was Nick Saban's number one guy. Like, he was going to be a starting cornerback at Alabama. He leaves, and it just so happened that Pete Golding and Lane Kiffin were right there, ready to go, and you know, you get him. So that's one thing to remember. You know, it's not all like that. The portal's not always in a, you know, a vacuum where it's all the same every year. And I think that you could see that this year, where there are a lot of guys that Ole Miss just wasn't willing to spend that much money on. Like, look, I think Eric Singleton is a really good player, but I don't think he's worth what he was wanting. Mm. It's hard to pay a 5'11" slot receiver that much.
Now, if Eric Singleton is the wide receiver equivalent to Quinshon Judkins next year for Auburn, then you'll go, well, dadgum, you should, you know. But that's part. That's the cost of doing business now. Like, Eric Singleton was my number one miss, and now it's like, but they've got now none of these guys could be as good as him, or the collection of them could be far superior to whatever return on the investment of $3 million they would have gotten out of Eric Singleton. Especially because you're not in a position where, oh, if you go get Eric Singleton, well, that's the missing piece. There is no silver bullet missing piece for Ole Miss this year. So this is different, right? This is different than going and getting Rashad Amos and injured Logan Diggs and all these others to replace Quinshon Judkins. What you're doing here, yeah, you could have paid Eric Singleton, but you needed a full room. And now you've got Trey Wallace, Dejon Stribling, Traylon Ray, Deuce Alexander, Caleb Odom. I would take the – I mean, you probably would have to remove a couple of those at least if you'd have paid up to what Eric Singleton wanted. So it's a different way of going about roster construction this year, because you're not getting the silver bullet, and surefire push us over the top guy.
Does the need match the want? I don't think Ole Miss needed Eric Singleton more than it needed a Caleb Odom, a Stribling, a Trey Wallace, because you're losing Trey Harris on the outside. You lose Jordan Watkins, and he played a little of both, but you got Caden Lee back. So, you know, he's your best guy coming back in 2025. So you don't, like, I didn't think Ole Miss absolutely needed Eric Singleton versus you got to go get some big guys on the outside. Because look, Caleb Cunningham, he might be Ryan Williams. He might be Jeremiah Smith, but it's not.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. But you go get two guys like Stribling and Wallace who have played a lot of football to play on the outside. And you get Caleb Odom, who's a high, high, high upside pickup, a guy that could turn into a Trey Harris or whoever. And then I think the inside pieces are exceptional and extremely complementary. Deuce Alexander and Traylon Ray are both guys that have played a lot of football and can play on the inside and take some pressure off of Caden Lee and help him utilize more space in the middle of the field. And not to mention, you lose Caden Priestcorn. I think Ole Miss did a hell of a job adding more to the tight end room because I do think Luke Haas could play a wide receiver, essentially. He can be on the outside. He doesn't have to be a hand in the dirt tight end. And then, oh, by the way, you got Daquan right back, who was just – I mean, that dude, I think he did himself a lot of favors and made some money that night in the Gator Bowl. So – And people keep asking, you know, we got to get more offensive linemen. Yes, true, but you can't square peg round hole it. You know, you got to find guys that fit. You got to find guys that you think are actually worthy of playing in the SEC.
You got to find guys that come here for the price point you have for all the allocated positions.
Sure, and look, they're not a ton of elite guys in the portal. And when there is a really good offensive lineman, you got 50 schools trying to get him. So, you know, this isn't me making an excuse. It's just the nature of the business. I mean, this is just reality. It's, yeah, you want those really good offensive tackles, but so does everybody else. So last year was just, I mean, it was a perfect storm. I mean, we were there when Poupal essentially committed and we talked to him. We saw Juice Wells when he was there, and then it all just kind of fell in, you know. The dominoes were just perfect. I mean, it was kismet. I mean, think about this team with Tyler Barron, you know, if that whole snafu doesn't happen. So I think last year too opened up the eyes of the staff and Lane Kiffin where, you know, you have to find the right pieces. I think they found a lot of the right pieces in the portal last year, but it's pretty glaring when you didn't get that. You didn't get that right offensive guard, or you didn't get, you know, the extra offensive tackle, or you didn't get the running back. And I think that that's just the delicate dance, right? That's what the portal is. It's not just, all right, let's look at the top 10 guys and let's try to get all of those guys. It's not like that. I mean, I don't think anybody thinks that, but it's not that simple. You know, you gotta find guys that mesh, that fit in. Kiffin, you know, talks a lot about the culture of the program and how they've done a really good job of bringing in a lot of transfers who buy in. Because, you know, that's a valid concern, Ben, when people are like, well, you're doing these one-year rentals. Like, they don't care about Ole Miss. They don't care about Oxford, blah, blah, blah. And sure, that's probably true. There are probably some guys that are just, I'm just here to play football. I don't care. I'm going to leave in 8 months. But I think the staff has done an exceptional job of not only getting talent, but getting guys to buy in. And I think it's pretty palpable when you see a guy like Poupal put out his whole announcement, you know, that he's leaving. And, you know, I think it was genuine. I think he actually was torn and wanted to stay. Walter Nolan, I talked to plenty of people that said that he was thinking about it. And people are like, that's insane. But he genuinely felt like Ole Miss and the staff made him a better player and a better person. You know, there was the conversations about other guys like, you know, Trey Harris, you know, you reported on that there was, you know, some rumblings that he might try to come back. And, you know,
his was more because of some of the draft feedback in regard to his injury stuff. I still wrote it in there. Should have been clearer, but
it's fine.
You weren't wrong.
I mean, I think there's something to that where it's not just, I'm just here to play football. Mm-hmm. Like they like being at Ole Miss because of what the staff has been able to do to provide a locker room that is, you know, welcoming to guys that are coming in for 1 or 2 years. I mean, I think that was big why Jared Ivey stayed, Jordan Watkins, you know, JJ Pegues, like all these guys that were transfers that could have left early or could have gone somewhere else. they decided to stay. And I think that's why, you know, Jackson Dart. I mean, that's a big one. You know, Ulysses Bentley, he, you know, hindsight probably should have left, but he didn't. But there's a reason why they all stayed. So I think that's what's important to remember when talking about the portal is so far the track record this staff has shown, has put out there, is they're going to find the pieces that they can put together in a roster and put 22 guys on the field that are going to give you the best chance to win. And, you know, they're going to actually have a little, you know, give a shit when it comes down to it, where it's not just, well, it's a business, I'm just here to play and then I'm going to go home and I don't care. I think that's hard to do. I mean, look at Florida State, Ben. I mean, I think that was kind of their issue. They had a lot of guys that didn't jive. They had some guys that didn't like it, didn't like being there, didn't perform well in week one or week two and then quit, or, you know, went to shell. You know, Ole Miss had a group of guys that competed. You know, look, there could have been guys that laid down and quit and just said, the hell with this after the Kentucky game. They fought back. They battled. They won that Georgia game. They gave themselves a shot.
There was legitimate worry from Ole Miss about opt-outs after LSU.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because that was, yeah, like early October. That was when everybody kind of thought, like, it's over. But, yeah, that's a credit to the staff and a credit mm-hmm. to the leadership on the team that they hung in there and, you know, played it till the, you know, till that Florida game when it was, you know, and look, there was still a chance. I mean, people were having conversations before that final selection show about three lost teams getting in, and Ole Miss was one of them. So, look, you see, final ranking was 11 this year, you know, 9 last year. The 2 years before that, it was 11. So you're right there. And I think that that's important. I know that's not what Ole Miss fans want to hear. I know it sucks to lose, and no one likes it, but at the end of the day, this program has really taken the next step. And I think it's because of Lane Kiffin's ability to maneuver and finagle the portal in a way that it helps Ole Miss to, you know, level the playing field with the Notre Dames, the Ohio States, the Oregons, and those other schools that, you know, have more money, have more resources. And I think that Ole Miss is in a great spot and probably going to stay here for at least the near future because of what they've been able to do and how crafty they've been with the portal.
This week in Ole Miss sports, Ole Miss basketball as of today, according to Joe Lenardi of ESPN, is a 4 seed in the NCAA tournament. That's coming off of its first SEC loss of the year at Mississippi State. But of course, last week won at number 4, Alabama, the first top 5 road win for Ole Miss in program history. And then Alabama turns around and beats Kentucky and drops 102 on them after Ole Miss held them to 64. So, yeah, you lose your first ACC game, but Ole Miss took the in-state rival to overtime, almost pulled it out, and actually got rewarded because in basketball you get rewarded for good losses. And when, bumped up a couple spots in the net, I think they're, number 13 in the net now, which is the greatest spots. Yeah, greatest net ranking in Ole Miss history. Number 17 in Ken Pom's rankings. Also, according to Ken Pom, as I was looking at it, Ole Miss is projected to go 22-9 overall, 11-7 in the SEC. Yeah.
The crazy thing about that game Saturday, Ben, Ole Miss had no business being in that game.
They really didn't.
57% from the free throw line, out-rebounded by, 30 almost. Had no business.
Defense travels.
Yeah. I mean, they cut it to, 8 at the half. And then came out, shot better in the second half, started rebounding, started getting turnovers. So I think that that's the positive here. And I know, moral victories suck and all that, but
you lose games in basketball.
Yeah. Mississippi State should have blown Ole Miss out with how they played in that first half. And they fought back. And again, you talk about culture. Beard talks about that all the time. I think that was pretty indicative of that locker room and those players. Where they fought back because it looked pretty bleak early. I mean, it was not looking good. That the Humphrey Coliseum was rocking. Mississippi State was shooting it well.
11-0 real quick.
Yeah.
Real quick.
So, yeah, I mean, Matthew Morrell hits the 3. They go to overtime. I thought everything shifted when they get the turnover. Morrell, instead of dunking it, he tries to lay it up. It gets blocked.
Chris Spears said the same thing afterwards, man. He said, yeah. The Matt Morrell I know dunks that ball. Is it health? I don't know. But, yeah, that's something to watch moving forward. And Malik Dia took a step back after three straight games of dominance in the SEC. States bigs ate Ole Miss alive, and it started with Malik Dia. Only played 18 minutes in that game.
He's human.
And him and Chris Beard are still figuring each other out. That's another part of this transfer culture that you don't know these players until you get them in those moments, in those
sure.
– I don't want to say wars because this isn't war, but once you see them and how they respond, you know, there's some adjustment to that as well. So that is the number one thing I think to watch for Ole Miss sports this week is Ole Miss basketball on Wednesday. Host Texas A&M, number 11 Texas A&M at 8 p.m. Central Time at the Pavilion. Go support those Ole Miss Rebels. They're making a push for the NCAA tournament. If they ended up a 4 seed, that would match the highest seeding in Ole Miss basketball history, matching when Ole Miss was the number 4 seed and got the shot on it by Bryce Drew and Valpo in 1997. But a 4 seed, that would be the highest ever. And also, Ole Miss is looking for its 10th all-time NCAA tournament appearance, and it's been around for 100 years.
Yeah.
So these are all historic things. Yes, football is over, but if ever there was a time for you to care about basketball, now would be the time. And their style of play is fun because they play a smothering brand of defense. They do have outside shooting capability that they haven't had before. Now, efficiency has been an issue, but this is a fun Ole Miss basketball team. This is what you wanted Ole Miss to be when Keith Carter went and made the change with Kermit Davis, went out and got Chris Beard. Chris Beard's doing what Chris Beard does to support them. Again, 8 p.m. Central Time at the Pavilion on Wednesday. This has been Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett in the Riverland Roofing Studios, riverlandroofing.com for all your roofing needs, 662-644-4297. Our friends at Riverland Roofing, they power everything we do here on Talk of Champions. You got one last thing for the road.
Just something to put a pin in. Remember, a lot of parallels being drawn with Chris Beard in year two at Ole Miss and what he did at year two at Texas Tech.
They went to the Final Four that year, though.
You had the Elite Eight, then you had the run to the national championship.
Yeah.
Both years, Texas Tech was a 3 seed. So maybe that 3-4 spot is kind of the sweet spot for Chris Beard. So
don't tease me with a good time, Zach.
Interesting parallels there. But yeah, I'm excited to see what they do this week because they got pretty tough stretch coming. But yeah, basketball is fun again. So it's been a fun couple weeks. And yeah, go to the Pavilion. A&M's damn good and Ole Miss is damn good. So it'll be another battle.
I will say if Ole Miss does make the NCAA tournament, I've already told my buddy Brocky, I was like, look, bro, he owns a tour bus. Like, dude, we're taking the tour bus. We'll do it like busing in the boys. We're going to go to wherever they're at, bring Chris Beard onto the bus. You know what I mean? Like, we'll do the whole thing. Like, I love Ole Miss basketball, and I love that even in defeat. I remember in 2012-13 when Ole Miss won 27 games but ended up a 12 seed because they went and lost at the worst state team you could possibly lose to, like in the 300s in the net. And this Ole Miss team – had every reason to just say, well, this isn't our day, and to lay down, and they didn't. They fought back. They pushed it to overtime. You thought they had full momentum. The block on Matthew Morrell was the turning point. But everything about this team is what you've been looking for if you're an Ole Miss basketball person. Ole Miss hasn't been a basketball school for as long as I've known it, my 38 years of existence, outside of pockets of enthusiasm. Chris Beard's building something that can last. So go support them on Wednesday, 8 p.m. Central Time. Our thanks again to Riverland Roofing. Riverland Roofing for all your roofing needs, 662-644-4297. He's Zach Berry. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben, at Zach_Berry on the Twitters, X. Check out our stuff at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, and affiliate of On3. Sign up today for as low as $1. Thank you, Zachary. We'll do it again.
All right, buddy. Catch you later.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.